Hey guys, we're continuing down this rabbit hole, I should say, maybe not, when it comes to exploring more about the tarot. Now, on previous episodes, I did already do the Justice, the High Priestess card, as well as the Devil. You can always go back through my last episodes and you can find all those episodes there, amongst other things that I've recorded in the past. And this goes all the way back to like 2018 or 2019. It's been that long. But either way, so on this particular episode, we're going to be looking more into the major arcana card, the Emperor. Now, the Emperor should be a no-brainer. I mean, the symbolism itself just speaks to the theme. It just speaks to the meaning behind this particular card. But of course, we're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth, I would say. Now, the Emperor is signified by the zodiac sign of Aries. Okay, but another thing to take into account is numerology. Okay, the Emperor is number 4. Now, in numerology, 1 and 4 are signified by the sun. Okay, and not just when we're talking about zodiac, you know, signs or, you know, whatever you want to call it, but life path numbers as well. So if you have a life path number 1 or shoot, even a life path number 4, you may come out quite a bit as the Emperor whenever you pull cards or whenever readings happen for you. I mean, it just depends, of course, on the situation, but that is the type of energy that the Emperor embodies. Okay. And then of course with the sun, Leo, the sun is our soul. Maybe some could even argue that the sun is our soul's purpose. Like in a manner, what do we want to achieve to make ourselves feel whole? You know, you could even possibly look at your sun sign in your natal chart to possibly say that may be what you need to achieve in order to feel whole. Now, I don't know if your passions are ruled by the sun. I probably should definitely look this up when it pertains to the book of rulership, which I will look at that probably after this. And if there's anything different in there, then of course I'll let you guys know on the next episode. The thing is, when it pertains to the Emperor, you know, in the major arcana, of course, he is the 4th card. He is right behind the Empress. So, you know, we could say that the Empress and the Emperor are suited together in the major arcana because they are the parents, maybe of the tarot deck or maybe just of the major arcana. All right. So, but the Emperor is the archetype of the parent. Specifically, the Emperor is tied to the father. Now, if we want to go possibly tied to mythology, we could maybe even say maybe the Emperor is tied to Kronos, because if I'm not mistaken, Kronos' sons are Zeus and, is it Hades? I don't know, guys. I just know Zeus and Kronos is there. But then again, Kronos can also be signified by Saturn. So things can definitely get a little bit complicated whenever you start, you know, adding up all of the meanings tied to these cards. Then you literally could have, a whole chapter book, okay, and then some. But either way, so the Emperor, like Saturn within itself, is signifies the father when we're talking about major arcana cards. Of course, the Emperor's planetary ruler is Mars. You know, Mars, of course, Aries, the aggressor, military style type of energy with Mars. Mars can also be like the entrepreneur, maybe like the surgeon, since we're talking about dealing with knives. Anything tied to law enforcement, probably, so police officer, etc. But yeah, also with the Emperor, you know, we go back to the stigma surrounding what the emperor means or what a father means whenever it pertains to society, whenever it pertains to the household. Traditionally speaking, back when the tarot cards were created, again, I'm going to have to do an episode on that because there's so many different resources in terms of when tarot was actually started. There's some that go back to, of course, Roman times, but some go back probably before then. So we're going to have to do a deep dive in terms of the history behind the tarot, which I think I talked about it a little bit in the podcast on the devil card, but I'll just do a whole episode dedicated to that. But going back to the time period, whenever these cards were created, the archetype surrounding around what the emperor is supposed to mean in terms of the father is, think about it, the ruler at home. Think about if you were younger and your parents were married, or even if they weren't married, the norm is dad is a disciplinarian, mom is like the lenient one. However, in modern times, these roles have possibly reversed, or it's just been a matter of it seems like the mom becomes the disciplinarian and, you know, the soft one in a manner if she is pretty much doing it by herself or being a single parent. Now, whenever I read cards sometimes, I see the emperor as a single parent. I don't know why, but energetically, he just comes through like that because the emperor is very independent, and probably he comes through as the single parent to me, because out of all of the cards in the tarot deck, as well as probably just a major arcana, if somebody is going to do it on their own, this is the guy. This is the one. Okay. But another thing is, as well, you know, again, that archetype that goes with the emperor, you know, the strict, the authority figure, etc., that can be a lot for somebody to deal with if you're in a relationship. You know, hence why the emperor to me sometimes has that aura of, no, I'll do it myself and F everybody else to hell. You know, so it can be a little bit difficult to get the emperor to understand that it's okay to want help. It's okay to be helped, because I feel like in a way he can have a little bit of an issue accepting help as well, because he's so used to being independent. He doesn't want to break that mold of that archetype that was painted of him back whenever these cards were, you know, made, or back whenever we go back to traditionally speaking, like I said, whenever he's the disciplinarian, he's the enforcer, he's the strict parent, he's the authority figure. Okay, he is, you know, solidified in his reasoning, and he's not going to change his mind. It doesn't matter how many times you cry in front of me, I'm just not going to change my mind. So whenever you're dealing with an emperor type character, if you yourself are emperor type character, it can be a little bit difficult when it comes to other people trying to deal with you, rather on a platonic or a romantic relationship. Because again, if we're going back to the archetype, he doesn't really want to show any emotions. A lot of that is the way that he was conditioned, but a lot of that has to deal with, again, going back to the archetype of what the man or the emperor is supposed to be like. You're not supposed to cry. Cry is weakness. You're not supposed to show your weakness. You're supposed to be the one that's going to be solid. But that is the lesson I feel that the emperor is meant to learn on this earthly plane. He is to learn to allow himself to feel through his emotions and know that emotions are okay. You don't have to do it alone if there are avenues there that will help you. So that can be a little bit of the emperor's issue, possibly through life, or specifically when it comes to him having kids. We're going to get more into, you know, how it differs whenever the emperor is in reverse. But oh, another thing as well to add to that archetype, the emperor upright, he signifies respect. Who did the song? Was it Aretha Franklin? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Maybe. I could be wrong on who exactly did the song, but I know one of them. I don't want to say Patti LaBelle because I don't think that was Patti LaBelle. I'm thinking that it possibly was Aretha Franklin, but I'll just have to look up that later. Okay. Now, moving on down. So, of course, like I said, the thing is with the emperor, he represents the father, the empress represents the mother. The mother is supposed to be, you know, the one who is on the softer side, the loving one. Because if we look at the Empress card, there is a garden, there's rivers flowing, you know, through the garden that she is sitting in. She's sitting pretty much on her throne of abundance, we would say, because she is rooted in the earth. She's rooted in her femininity, okay? Empress, of course, in this instance would be femininity, and, you know, the emperor in this instance would be masculinity, okay? But the difference, now that we move over to the picture, the artwork tied to how they portrayed the emperor. It's like the stream that the river that flows in the car of the empress, it has decreased in size. All those vines and all those things growing in the empress's garden, they're not really there in the emperor's garden. You know, why? I mean, I'm not sure why they decided to draw it like that, but they could have drew it like that to personify the huge difference, I would say, probably between femininity and masculinity, okay? But either way, a thing that isn't take the struggle when it comes to the emperor in a manner, when we try to apply it to our own lives, is that it becomes painful to realize, or it becomes painful whenever that moment comes, whenever you are a child or you're a teenager, whenever you realize that your parents are human. Your parents make mistakes. Your parents don't necessarily know the best all the time. When it pertains to the emperor and this particular realization, that's one of the painful moments tied to this particular card. Accepting the humanistic side of people, which is a struggle, I feel like, for the emperor. You know, maybe in a manner we could say maybe the emperor wants to be a little bit of a perfectionist. But I've said before that the emperor is one of those particular people. It may not be a perfectionist per se. It could be an energy of, I know the way that I do my job. And I'm not willing to step off my throne. I'm not willing to be less strict unless you can prove to me that you can do my job as good or better than me. But the thing is, of course, like I said, with the archetype tied to the emperor, he is the hard worker. He is the father figure during that time that's supposed to go out and, you know, bring home the bacon, whatever the thing is that people say. So It's a difficult moment when we are like where we're at now in our growth process or as adults, and we realize like, wow, my parents may have been a little bit messed up, or it sucks that, you know, my parents were like this and like that. But we forget that we have to remember that our parents are humans. The same way that we make mistakes, they made mistakes as well. Doesn't make it right. But that, I feel like, is the painful realization when it pertains to this particular card. Can you accept the fact that despite your parents screwing up, they're human as well? They don't know what the hell to do. They don't know what the hell to do, or if they even knew what to do whenever, you know, they had you or whatever the situation was. I can see a little bit of fear, to be honest, with the emperor, because think about it. Think about being this particular type of figure all the time. And, you know, there's still their fear there that what if they see me as someone else, or what if they see me as myself? That can be scary for the emperor. You know, I would say, to give you an example, I would say the emperor could probably signify the majority of leaders that we have today when it pertains to the government. You know, hence why it's easier for them to sell us a picture, a dream on who they think we want them to be. But there's that fear there. What if they find out that I'm human? That is the fear that troubles the emperor, possibly even keeps him up at night. The same thing could even possibly be said when it pertains to, like, maybe, you know, raising kids. The same thing could be said as well. Like, you know what? Wow. You know how you can have, you know, you can have a child and then they, or you can have other children like observe you from the outside and they can say to your kids, oh my God, your mom's so great, your mom's so this. But that fear, possibly that fear of you could be, damn, if only they knew who I was. You know, I feel like that could definitely be something that may probably a lot of parents struggle with at some point during the journey of raising a human. Okay. But in the book that I was reading, in pertaining to the deep dive of the emperor, there is I think it's Freud's theory, or it may be Freudian. I don't know if that is the correct name for it, but based off of this particular theory, Freud says that when it pertains to the infant psyche, the infant needs constant satisfaction. But if a father, or this is their theory, if a father interferes in the relationship that an infant has to its mother, then that's whenever hostility can arise. And that's why I said that the emperor may signify like leaders when it pertains to politics. But immediately whenever I read that theory, Freud's theory about an infant needing that constant satisfaction, which is true. But the other part of it saying that if a father ends up interfering in that satisfaction or that interaction between an infant and a mom, then it can raise up hostility. That immediately took me to thinking about judges and when it pertains to probably child support, custody, any of those things that we use the court system for when it pertains to mediating a child-parent situation. And I don't know if maybe judges follow this particular type of theory where they may possibly be on the same wavelength, thinking that if a father interferes in the connection of an infant and its mother, then that infant can end up being, or that child could end up being hostile. I don't know if it's a situation where they took that and they're just like, okay, well, a child can be okay without a dad, but they can't be okay without a mom. Maybe that's just me thinking about it more in depth, but that's exactly where it took me to, the state of the system, pardon me, was created by man. So, that's probably going to be a deep dive for, another day when it pertains to, me getting even deeper into the, I guess, parental cards of the deck, because I'm going to do like the Empress and the Emperor, and then the Hierophant and the High Priestess, which to me, just studying more as the years go by, I don't really see the Hierophant and the High Priestess as a couple. Because most of the time, I would say 9 times out of 10, whenever I do a reading for someone and they are referring to the relationship with their children, guess what cards come up? The Hierophant and the High Priestess. So I'm like, well, this can't be right. So we might have to sit the High Priestess and the Hierophant to the side when it comes to couples. That the Hierophant and the High Priestess at this particular juncture where I'm at when it pertains to studying it, I feel like they're more of a lesson as opposed to a couple that is supposed to be together. Like there is some sort of karmic, evolution. There's some sort of karmic debt that needs to be paid when that pair comes up. And it doesn't have anything to do with romantically speaking. The High Priestess and the Hierophant takes you on that ride. Some may feel like it takes you on that ride through hell or heaven, but more so hell, because that is the difficulty. It literally is. I would say the thing is the Hierophant and the High Priestess is too humanistic to me in terms of, like I said before with the Emperor, realizing, can you accept the fact that this person is human and they're not going to be perfect, that they may not even live up to your expectations? I feel like the High Priest and the Hierophant, they, you know, shine a light on that even more, which makes that relationship, if it is one, very, very difficult, because you have to literally sit with the fact that, damn, you know, you may not live up to my expectations. even though I have put a lot of faith in you, and I really hope that you do live to my expectations. But with that type of energy, it's one of those things that once the karma is fizzled, you got to cut the cord. I mean, you just have to cut the cord. Whereas with the Empress and the Emperor, that is the couple. They will literally rain, sleet, snow, sunshine, arguments, they will literally stay together, because I see those two as a couple that will be like, I'm going to do it for the kids. Whereas the High Priestess and the Hierophant, if they are a couple, they may be one of those where it's kind of just like, you know what? I want to do this relationship because I love this person, even though they're fucked up. So how do we navigate through that? It's tough. Hence why I'm always going to say that is probably the toughest relationship ever. You know, other major arcana cards aside, that is the one. But anyway, back to what I was talking about when it comes to the Emperor. So we already talked about how card number 3, which is the Empress, and card number 4 represent the parents. The Empress represents the natural world, okay? The Emperor represents the social world, okay? And the Emperor symbolizes the laws of society. Rather that be good or bad, he symbolizes that. Hence, we can say law and order in that regard. Okay. Now, at the Emperor's best, he indicates stability of a just society that allows people to exercise their free will. So, the Emperor is hands off. I mean, it just sounds like a dad thing to be. Hands off, you know, until it gets time where I have to pull the hammer down because you're doing something that you're not supposed to do, or you're disobeying your mother and you know you're not supposed to do that. Then that's whenever I can no longer be docile. That's whenever I can no longer just sit on my throne. Now I have to raise up, possibly raise my voice, tower over you to let you know it's just not going to work. That is the way that the Emperor, based off of research, that's the way that the Emperor would tackle society when it pertains to maintaining law and order, even though it may be unjust. But like I just said, the Emperor represents the laws of society, rather that be good or bad. Okay. And that is the thing what I talked about before when it comes to accepting the humanistic side of people. When it comes to the Emperor, when the Emperor is at his best, he realizes that the world is fucked up and there's good and there's bad people. He realizes that. Okay. But even if we take away society or laws in general, even when it comes to relationships, the Emperor realizes that you're going to be who you are. And at that particular point, it's my choice to continue to deal with you in the way that you are. The Emperor's not the one who's going to try to change you, probably at all. He is one of those where it's just like, you know what? I know what I signed up for. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay for forever. He'll stay till he gets tired in a way. But he doesn't strike me as the type where he's going to try to change who you are to fit something that he has made up in his mind. Because again, like the definition says, he lets people exercise their free will. Why would he try to change you if he knows that you're going to do whatever the hell you want to do? Okay. And again, the Emperor realizes that the world is chaotic, more so in this instance, the natural world. That's why his counterpart, his good fit in a manner, is the Empress. Because if you just look at the card of the Empress, there's no chaos going on in that. So maybe in a way, we could even say that there is, we could even possibly say that maybe in a way, there is a sense of delusion in the Empress. Now hear me out. Yes, she is abundance, but also she is tied to number 3. The number 3 is signified by Jupiter. The planet or the signs that are signified by Jupiter are Pisces, 12th house, Sagittarius, 9th house. And we all know what goes down in the 12th house. So in some type of a manner, the Empress in a way could escape to her natural world, which could possibly be in her mind. The world that she created in her mind to get her away from the reality of the real world. Because again, The emperor knows the world is screwed. The emperor knows the world is chaotic. But in a way, the empress is his escape from the reality of it, which is why they fit. He is practical. Excuse me. The empress isn't really that practical. Despite her being Taurian energy, she's practical probably when it comes to money. But when it pertains to other things, she struggles with that. But that's why those two, in a manner, I would say, come together, because it's a good fit when it comes to that. It's like, oh, okay, you know, it's like the emperor's like, I see the world for what it is, and everything that I don't want it to be, or I do want it to be. The empress sees the world for everything she wants it to be, nothing else. Where's the balance in that? So she needs someone to kind of like counteract that, someone to help her mellow it out, which is why that's a couple to me, the empress and the emperor. So if there's any cards that you would really like to pull out of the deck together in terms of if a relationship can work, that would be the two that need to land right on top of each other, because you might have something, okay? Now, of course, again, free will comes into play, but I'm just saying. But with the emperor, you know, he realizes that without some kind of structure, we could spend all our lives fighting to survive. Hence, law and order. Hence, rules, laws that get put in place. Again, we're not saying that these laws are correct, but in the emperor's mind, this is what has to be done in order for there to be some sort of order in this chaotic thing that we have going on. And another thing when it comes to the emperor is the emperor is an archetype where his energy says that society allows us to benefit from the experience of those who live before us. And this is where I want to get into a little bit of the emperor in reverse. Now, again, this isn't really a trigger warning, okay? This is just me being realistic. I can tell at certain times through the tarot whenever someone is racist. I can. Do I mention it? No. But I can tell. And, you know, if you guys read, this is just me based off, of course, surrounding cards matter, but this is just me based off of what I've seen. The devil in the Two of Cups is a combination that I've seen. And the emperor in reverse, because again, like I just said, society allows us to benefit from the experience of those who live before us. So if you're dealing with somebody who comes from a background who has benefited exponentially because of the people before them or their ancestors, you know what I'm saying? And that emperor comes up in reverse. If you're like trying to see how this person feels about you, we're running into an issue. Because does this person see you as their equal, or does this person see you as someone that you are lower than them because they've benefited from the experiences of those that have lived before them? Two different things. Okay. But again, for another day, but you guys know I'm going to keep it a buck. So I'm not going to shy away from talking about real world shit just because it makes you uncomfortable. That's just too bad. Now, another thing when it comes to the emperor is stability allows for spiritual development. And that could be why there are some, I don't know if there's theories, it may be. There may be some theories around where it could be that, you know, men may be stronger when it comes to possibly the metaphysical. This is a theory, it ain't mine. I've just heard it before. Can't remember from where. Or, you know, and it could be because for them, the man would represent that stability, that I'm not getting my emotions involved. But even outside of that, you know, what the thing is, and this may be also as to why some people, what's the word? Why some people, you know, get into spirituality and then who knows, maybe 2-3 years later, they go towards something else. And I would say it goes simply to this line, the stability part. Think about whenever you got into spirituality? Was it a time where you were most stable? And stability doesn't have to be tied to financially speaking. Stability could be mentally, emotionally, all of that. So even if I think about my own experience, I feel like I got into spirituality during a time where, emotionally speaking, I wasn't at my most stable, kind of like where I'm at now. Every single day I probably was crying. Okay, but that's where I was at that particular point in life. And now that I'm older and I've pretty much been in this particular journey for almost 6 years, I'm getting to a more stable place all the way around. Hence the change within me, where it's kind of just like, you know what? Am I still supposed to be on this path? But that's the thing when it comes to the emperor. But see, the issue runs into play whenever we get scared to walk towards stability and to leave this behind. Then we feel like, oh my, it's like struggling to let go of a security blanket. That's why you can see people regress. And that is the thing. You can get stuck at the emperor. Once you get to the emperor and you get to that point of stability, that's whenever the spiritual development really starts to kick in. And if you get afraid of that, guess what you may do? You may regress backwards. You may go back and, you know, be certain ways that you know are not good for you. But you did all that work to get out of it. So why would you regress backwards? Because think about it. Spirituality in a minute is like a comfort. It's like a blanket, you know, especially whenever you go for clarity. You just want somebody to tell you you're not crazy. You just want somebody to tell you that you're right. You want somebody to tell you that you're feeling this, you're feeling that. So if you're on your spiritual journey and you come to a point in the road where it's like, you know what? I don't know if this is for me anymore. Guess where you're at? You're at stability. And now the real work begins when it pertains to developing yourself spiritually. But you can't get scared of that and then be like, you know, a prime example, you know, even if it's, I don't know, prime example, I guess me, or even if it's somebody else, you know, you can be on this path when it pertains to being in spirituality and helping other people. And then you get to that point in the road where you reach your stability and you've built something, you've built a following, you've built this, you've built that. It can get scary to let that go because you're at a point where you're actually about to truly start developing. That gets scary. Then guess what you do? Well, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose that. So let me go backwards. Let me regress. Because I don't want to move past the emperor. So, you know, there's just the emperor is just reading about him. I did not realize how powerful of a card he was. To be honest, he might be more powerful than, I'm going to say more powerful, but his power may surpass the justice card a bit. Because, you know, at first I was thinking the justice card is law and order, but come to find out, well, I would say the justice card is universal law and order, but who the hell knows whenever that's going to transpire. But then we have the emperor, who is earthly law and order, and you know how that can go. Like I said, I can see the emperor as being like a dictator or a leader, but the thing is, you know, that he has to, and that's another thing as well, when it comes to being the emperor and you're in a position of power, you're not going to be everybody's favorite whenever you have to do what's best for the masses. And that may look like it is incorrect to other people, but the emperor understands. He understands the bigger picture. When he's upright, when he's in reverse, he ain't looking at that bigger picture. He's looking at something that's going to fulfill his ego when he's in reverse. But whenever he's upright, he's looking at the masses in a way, because even number four, fourth house, sun, the moon rules over the masses. So that just makes sense. So, you know, the emperor is one of the, and it's another thing as well. He's one of those people where he could implement a law. It doesn't mean that law is like correct, but the thing is with the emperor in that particular area is trial and error. Like, I have to go through this law that I've implemented to see if it's good or bad. He makes those type of calls. It's like I'm making a judgment call. I think this might be good for the people, but yeah, I don't know. But I have to see what works. He's also that energy where he's not one of those where it's just like, rules are meant to be broken. That's not where he's at. Rules are meant to be followed at first. And then we come back around and we correct the ones that don't make any sense. That's whenever he is at his best. But whenever he is in, you know, reverse, he lacks respect just for people in general. You know, if you're in a relationship and you come up in reverse or they come up in reverse, we've gotten to a point where respect has gone out the window at this particular juncture. And you have to figure out what happened, what went wrong. How do we get this back? Okay. Trying to see if it's weird because I put in my notes that the Emperor, whenever he's up, maybe he's more in reverse, but he kind of reminds me, I don't know what the guy is that was in Star Wars. Oh, you guys. Oh my God. He was the supreme ruler, supreme being or something like that. That gives me total Emperor vibes, more so in reverse, but his throne and all that stuff, that's more so symbolism of the Emperor upright, but his actions were more so Emperor in reverse. But you kind of get the gist. I said political leaders can be signified by Emperor. Hitler was more so, in his mind, he probably thought he was the Emperor in reverse. I mean, in upright. He thought he was the Emperor upright. He thought he was doing the right thing, but in reality, he was the Emperor in reverse, because what I say, he's doing it for him. It's an ego stroke. It's not really about the people. Okay? But another thing, when it pertains to the Emperor being in reverse, or whenever he's in detriment, it can signify that, you know, if the entire system becomes corrupt, the system that I've been talking about when it comes to law and order and etc., if that entire system becomes corrupt and we only have bad rulers that are produced from previous bad rulers, then stability becomes the enemy, which can be terrible, which can result in, what is that, like poverty? I mean, just bad stuff when it pertains to just law and order, which is something we don't want. But when you think about it, unfortunately, this is the energy that we have stepped in a manner, probably modern day, when it pertains to these Emperor in reverse people, where stability becomes the enemy in a manner of, I want my particular people to be stable, but we're going to take from you and we're going to let you go through the rings of fire of poverty. That is Emperor in reverse. That's not just. That's unjust laws. That's unjust energy. Okay. But for the most part, this has been somewhat of a breakdown for me, I should say, when it pertains to the Emperor card. After I get through the major arcanas, I will do a video, or not a video, I will do a podcast when it comes to the Emperor with the Empress and the Hierophant with the High Priestess, because I feel like that needs to be explored. Because to me, I feel whenever I do readings now that there's a little bit of a misconception tied to, like I said, the High Priestess and the Hierophant. It comes across like it's the Nirvana, but it's not that to me. But we'll talk about it. But thank you guys for sticking around for this particular deep dive when it comes to the Emperor. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.